Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for an opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for the influence of the spirit of revelation in the house today. We receive the word, we receive correction and edification in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou art created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Obviously, you know, we're talking about following God's plan for, plans, purposes. Okay, last year was following God's plan for your life, right? Plans for I endeavor every year since I started pastoring, whether even from fellowship days about 20 years ago, I endeavor every year to teach either following God's plan, how to be led in what we need. I mean, you know, I teach every year. Every year, I ensure that is in, because I discovered that it's something you need to keep hearing. You can't have a repertoire of the knowledge that you don't need to hear it again. You need to hear. Sometimes when you hear it again, it's like, oh, I need to follow God's plan. You know, it just comes always like that. All right, just like food. We said you don't eat food once and for all. Amen. Is that true? You keep feeding. All right. When you are strong, you still eat, right? You don't wait till you are weak to eat. Am I right? Keep eating. Okay, so we're looking at plans, goals, and purposes, and then just want to go straight to some issues quickly. You know, following God's plan, I said it's, you can, there are some things you can do yourself that you need not see. You know, we seem to think that sometimes we need to see one angel or a vision or some a being appearing to us, talking to us. No, you can intelligently ask some questions. For instance, I put some things down in the notes here. I said some things you should take to heart. You should not take to heart. That it shouldn't bother you. This one should never, the minute these things begin to dictate to you, know that you're either strolling, running, or crawling out of God's plan. The first thing we're going to look at, you know, now look at Philippians 3. Remember, Brother Higgin did share this. And I think it says learning to forget. I've taught that learning to forget several times. And this is what he says, Philippians 3. He says, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, for me it is not grievous, for it is safe. Look at the word, the same things. Do you know that we all have an attitude of not wanting to read the same things? If I call maybe me to come and share on righteousness, there are two things you look at. You say, well, I taught him. Second thing is righteousness. What do you want to say again? You know. So we hardly want to hear the same thing again and again. But the truth of the matter is that conviction is birthed and strengthened by repetition. It's birthed and strengthened by hearing the same things over and over again. Say for instance, when I now say beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and have no trust in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Take note of that. Have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, please take note of this. If any other man thinks that he whereof, he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He says, circumcised the 8th day. Now he begins to roll out his CV. He says, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning Jews, he persecuted the church. Concerning touching righteousness in the law, he said, blameless. He said, verse 7, what things are gain? Notice the words, what things were gain to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. What things were gain to me? He now says, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Dung refers to basically feces, excreta. Alright? He says that I may win Christ. Now he's not talking about salvation, because he says, basically when he mentioned this, he wasn't talking about salvation. But anyway, let's look at this. There's some things you shouldn't take to heart. I think he's saying that here. Some things that they shouldn't really bother you. They shouldn't get to you. You should learn to forget them quickly and never use them so efficiently. One is or are achievements of the flesh. Achievements in the flesh. Let me tell you something. It's very difficult not to consider it achievement in the flesh. He says, look, I count it dung, so because I don't trust in the flesh. And he begins to mention them. Achievements in the flesh. Things, you know, from the flesh. And you say, well, as soon as I say, I am this. You know, he says, those things were achieved for me. He says, I am this. You begin to say, does it bother you, does it get to you that nothing you did for yourself has a reward from the Lord? Nothing. Nothing that is for you. Like if this is to you, is for you. And many of us don't set the perspectives and set it right. You gather accolades, like Paul said, you have this one, you have that one, you have this one, and you pursue it so well. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong in pursuing ambitions, okay? And having a career, you pursue it very well. You make the best out of it. Paul's talking about 2 Corinthians 3:10. He said, he that does not walk shouldn't eat. What's he talking about? Preaching? Alright? Are you there? What's he talking about? Preaching the gospel. In Ephesians 4:28, it says, if you are a thief, steal no more, that you may walk with your hands that which is good. What's he talking about? Preaching? Acts 20:33-34, he mentions the fact that he has coveted no man's silver and gold or apparel. Say, with these hands I minister to my necessities and those are with me. He wasn't talking about preaching. Are you listening? So, hard work is inspired in scripture. But the issue is this. You know, oftentimes we fail to realize that there's a thin line between hard work and the achievements that come from it. Work hard, but by the time you are working hard for achievements, you may lose sight of God's purpose for your life. And many of us, we set goals and targets for ourselves. And some sermons don't even help you. You set goals and targets for yourself. A brother told me when we were in school, he said, by the time I'm 30, I must be a millionaire. I said, why? He said, well, he had told himself, since he came from a poor background, that he had to be rich. And whatever it will take him, he will be rich. You know, that kind of person will never respond to God's word wholeheartedly. Because he has set his heart on something. And man is a very strong creature. If man is willful enough, he will achieve what he wants. I told you that. Tower of Babel was just a product of people desiring to do something, and he did it. It's just that they were stopped. And Jehovah himself uttered and said, look, what they have imagined to do, they will do it. If they've imagined to do it, they will do it. So, Paul says that, he said, I have no confidence in the flesh. So the first thing you need to not take too seriously, are achievements in the flesh. It actually includes wealth as well. Wealth. Now, how many of us love to make money? Just try and lie here, and we'll cast out a few legions out of you. We love to make money. I love to make money. I don't like not to be without money. But how many of you agree that money can make you proud? Well, if you don't agree, you've never had it. Money can make you proud. It's not a mystery. Do you understand? It can make you proud. However, money can make you disrespect elders in your family. You just say what? And you say, what do you want to do to me? Money can make you, also that achievements also make you relate to some people differently. Maybe you just say, maybe you went to primary school with a guy, you now see him as a vulcanizer, and you have your degree. And now, if he's a rich vulcanizer, doesn't matter to you anymore. But then you know this guy, just look at him and say, how are you? He's your friend. You should be your friend. How are you doing? Okay. You can be asking your friend, how is your mommy? You know? That is what was like confidence in the flesh. And you know, we have enough principles out there from unbelievers that inspire what I just said now. So, but if you're going to follow God, you don't take things like that to heart. If they make you the MD of your company, don't act it out. It's a good stuff. I mean, MD of a company is a good thing. You know, but notice that people can be MDs without being born again. So, big deal. Are you listening? Do you understand? Big deal. Are you following? So, when you're giving your testimony, someone is MD of another company that wants to buy your company, and it's a Muslim, gives a look at it, oh, so it's a testimony. You follow my point? So, don't take it to heart. I've always said that when it comes to wealth, we can come to that, you're a custodian. Some grim realities, if you face it, if you don't face it, no problem. No matter how wealthy you are, you cannot hold your wealth forever. There is a man who said he's buried with money. It will take dumb children to do that. How would you know we didn't report it? I will now bury with your money. The worst case scenario, as you have access to the money, and then everybody is in, I'll just go and contact the guys, go and do fake notes. And we'll take the picture. I present it. How would I bury with value? You're already valueless. Really joking. But the truth is this, it shows how futile those things are. At the end of the day, they call you GMD. If you leave the earth, you become ex-GMD or former. They just change the nomenclature. I know they won't cry for 1 year to replace the GMD. It's very likely they appoint another GMD the very next day. That's how life is. That's just the way it is. Do you understand? Doesn't take much. So don't have confidence in the flesh, achievements of the flesh, or wealth. 1 Timothy 6:7 says that he said, we came to this world with nothing. It is certain. You know, Paul has said it is certain that we are going to leave this earth with nothing. So he was saying, I'm going to perpetuate my legacy into generations. That he's going to buy this and buy this for his great grandchildren and his great great grandchildren. And I said, if legacy was easy to perpetuate, Abraham had poor great grandchildren, including Isaac. They both had poor great grandchildren. Is it not true? Is it not true? So it doesn't make sense. So your confidence should never be in things that you achieved in the flesh. And many of us will carry it on our head a lot. PhD, professor, or they give you one award. United Nations, something. I remember years back, I was working with a man. The man, what amazed me was that this is an unbeliever. He had so much achievements. You know, by the time he was 22, going to 23, by the time he was 22, he had gotten his master's and gotten his PhD in nuclear physics. He was already, was a doctor already. I think by the time he was 20, I can't remember now, he was already a consultant, so brilliant. They made him president of Alpha Beta, a club of, Alpha Magna or something, in America. He was not born in the US. US came to the UK. US and the UK were now fighting over who were adopting as a citizen. It was so brilliant. You know, they began to come. By the time, I think it was a consultant for Morehouse for when he was 27. They couldn't give him, by the time the papers he wrote, I'm close to the man, so excellently intelligent. Very, very intelligent. Yeah, discovered epidemics in West Africa and Asia. Exceptionally intelligent and known around the world. But at the time, when he lived in, when he moved from Atlanta to another state in America, Atlanta said, look, we're going to give you honorary mayor. is a life member of FDA in America. I've traveled together to nations. I've seen presidents practically go, I know that. You know, so really, really, you know, a man who has achieved so much. Now, two things I wanted to say. The first thing is that you won't even know. By relating with him, you won't even know. That's the first thing. By, you know, so he will tell you, then you'll find out yourself. Second thing really is that his life is hopeless. Very hopeless. Really. So two things. Number one, he's humble and he may go to hell if he dies. He's still hopeless even if he's not humble. Do you understand? I don't think you get my logic. If he's not humble, he's still going to hell. He's still very hopeless. So the point is that you look at, you know, he didn't carry it. I mean, this is a man that Olusegun Oyinka wrote a book and told him to review it. I wasn't told, I saw it. So, and then, just an unbeliever. You now see a Christian achieve that and comes to church or among believers, even among unbelievers, you are now proud. Something is wrong. No, you should not carry me that to heart, because just about anybody could have achieved what you did. Just about anybody. Look, listen, I tell you, my best lecturer in school, in all the schools, were not Christians. And man, I love those guys. There was a man like that who taught me criminal law. I think it was company law. Was it company law? The man made me law, was criminal law. The man made me law criminal law so much like that. I said, look, if I will fail any course, I didn't anyway, so I won't throw criminal. The way he would quote, with so much ease, he said, no, criminal law is arithmetic. And the way he taught it, pam, 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 he said, you can take this. And I now knew the whole criminal law. I knew it often. I knew it like this. When I was going to learn from my guys, they would say, pastor, what is his name? The man I finally said his great message. But excellently, a great messenger is going to hell. His message will be heard in hell. But very intelligent. Now, you're not talking about rich people, you know, things you achieve in the flesh. Very, very intelligent. I was talking to one Nigerian billionaire. We sat down like this and he said, you know, so we're talking. So I was talking about challenge my company was facing. He said, now began to mention figures to me. When did I mention figures? I was talking about million. He was using B all the time. B, and not 2, 3. B. So my partner said, check out. I said, let's go. You know, when you look at it, as a believer, I can't take that to heart if I achieve that. Hope you are getting my point. I mean, I can't take that to heart. So Paul says, count it dung. It's fine. But I won't say I am in God's will and purpose because I have a PhD. Do you get my point? I won't say I'm doing God's will because I just bought an Escalade 2015 model. Do you know it doesn't make sense? Do you get my point? Are we together here? Okay, good. So don't put that to heart. I was taking something. It was very close to Jimmy Carter. Very close. So I got to know Jimmy Carter's son through him. And you know, there was something that almost happened then. When we bring some things to Nigeria, don't let me say it, it will badden the image of the country. I saw something with government officials I had never imagined before in my life. You know, we were going to bring, I think, over $1 billion to the country. But don't let me put it on record. Bad story. You know, but the guy said, look, that let's work together, that, you know, that he is also in the ministry, mentioned his nomination. I said, look, we work together, you know, and all that. I said, look, what we're doing, you get awards. He said, look, you can talk to that the way they are, that this man I'm talking about, he can speak 17 languages. If I told him one day, I said, you can qualify to be a 419. We sat down together on Transcorp, I think it was Transcorp. He sat down, it was Nikon Noga then. He sat down like this, and there was a Frenchman, an Italian man, a Spaniard, I think, and somebody else. And I was talking to each of them, their language. I said, doctor, So I know the guy said, and I looked at it and said, okay, what will now be it? I'll get award, and then we go around the world, and then we'll do this. To what intent? For me?
No.
I've signed out of that now, since. You have to sign out of that kind of box. Amen. In a dangerous inbox. Sign out quickly. Because you'll just be numbered among everybody. That's what you are in a race with unbelievers. That's what you are doing. A race. Let me say something. If a believer loses his job and he cares like an unbeliever, it's because he's a carnal person. You can know that really they are feeding on the same substance. Amen. So the first thing, don't take to heart. Human achievements, don't take it to heart. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Hope you are learning something. 1 Corinthians 1. It's Paul speaking. He said verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen, verse 27, the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Look at it, not many. It's not, that means it doesn't matter, you know, what you have in the flesh. So the first thing is, don't put it to heart. Don't, as you are pursuing those things, and nothing wrong, I've been giving awards here and there. As you are pursuing those things, don't put it to heart at all. Don't. I was my father in the last days, and he was on a deathbed, or sick bed became deathbed, and you know, I saw the man. I know my dad. I know how much he's respected. I know so many, accolades here and there, awards. But I saw him on the bed, and I felt, well, this is just you, and that's just life. Right now, you are finally going to meet your creator. And really, he has no business with all the awards you got. Because those awards were for you. Are you following my point? You know, so it really doesn't matter. So that was some reality. So the first thing, don't put human achievements, don't take it to heart. Don't carry it on your heart. It will come up. Jonas, and you'll be thankful to God. They say you are chairman, and then you call you this, you do this one, and it's okay. But don't carry, don't let him motivate you for any cause. Okay, two, what else should I not take to heart? Human applause. Human applause. Like human commendation. How many of you know that when people praise you, your head swells if you lie? How many of you know? You know? How many of you, even when your friend talks well about you, you feel happy? True? What about? Okay, let me get a big canal, alright? If you're a man, if you're a woman or lady, your crush says something nice about you. You know what a crush is? I didn't know what a crush was until I was in university 300 level. Can you imagine how silly I was? Because I felt crushed. What was that, Fanta or something? And the guy says, he just walks up to you and says, you're looking nice. And he says, really? You understand? Or a lady you have a crush on, she says, good morning. I admire your brain. I'm joking. You just go, oh, great. Oh, great. Oh, God. Just going to say something. Now imagine, if people are saying good things about you, they like you, and they say, you know, normally your head begins to swell. Just measure it, you will know. And you need to feel, And sometimes, we let people's praises inspire us. Don't let people's praises inspire you to do anything. Look at David. If you go to anybody that's going to enter trouble, as he killed Goliath, look at what the women were saying. Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. David only killed one person. Do you understand? That is how human beings are. When I was younger, those things used to, when people tell me, they just look at you. I know, I started a ministry, I was very strong on doctrine. I think I'm less strong now than I was then. I was quite strong, very strong on doctrine, very strong on the flow of the Spirit. Still I am. You know, like I said, I'm not strong. I'm a bit political now. God help me. I wasn't political at all. And someone just comes to you and just say, look, by the time they talk to you, and they tell you, life been better since I met you. And they say, lovely. I remember my birthday, I think it was 95, and they sang that song, thank you for giving the Lord. I was so moved, I was so touched, you know. You feel like, I'm doing more. I'm going to do more. Interestingly, the same people now beat you at the back. And what do you now say? You allow them to be the motivation. So the other thing is that I was inspired. But after a while, when I saw the other side of life, you know, another side of life, and I saw that really, they don't matter. Don't put it to her. When people praise you well, so people can call you anything. They can call you, people can look at you and they can praise you and all that. Don't let it get to you. Don't even use it. Young Bishop says, the praise of men are like gum, chewing gum, chew it, but don't follow it. Don't do that. Look at Galatians 1. One thing is that it's likely you begin to say things to please those who like you. How many people, when somebody likes you and praises you, you don't want to hurt them? How many of you, that's true? Oh, am I talking to the wrong crowd? You don't want to hurt them. Let me say one, and they now give to your ministry. If someone gives you, someone walks up to you, maybe a friend down the road, the guy gives you a Bentley. Let's say a Bentley before. I have two friends that have Bentleys. So, I've not just seen it before. Gives you a Bentley. I didn't say a Bentley, I said Bentley. That's all, yeah. So, gives you the key and you collect it. Do you understand? So, the very next day, he's a Christian. The very next day, you now see the guy. He wears white sutana. You know sutana? So now white garments. Sutana and carries candle and puts it in the middle or in your estate, the four corner. I don't even think that the first thing you do is go and hack it. But what's that? Is it likely? I know about Bentley. Bentley can buy some streets in some areas. I don't want to mention their names. I mean, put all the houses together. There's a Bentley somebody just bought, I think last year, 128 million. You don't steal Bentley. Where are you selling? Where you park your Bentley? Don't lock it. Who's go there? Or you buy a Rolls Royce and you say you are locking it. Not me, for they know the number of Rolls Royces in the world. In the whole world. So you can't steal a plane or a private jet. How do you want, where do you want to fly? You know, you don't steal a Bentley. You can only appreciate it. You can only admire it. So, you know, I give you the keys and the guy is doing a Bella. You know, you don't say, No, the guy says, the Bible says, you don't say, the person knows that, no, that's not the word. Contextually, you don't say, God sees your heart. He sees your heart. It's your heart that really matters. So that's how human praise is. The minute people say things to your advantage, naturally you don't want to offend them. You, so that's why you mustn't take it to heart. Praise God. Are you there? I mean, human applause, human acclaim, human praises must never be used as a basis, you know, for our pursuit in life. Look at Jesus in John 6. You know, he had just had 5,000 men minus the women, let's put it at 10,000, yeah, just fed them. I mean, in those days, a whole city used to be just about 20,000. Okay? A whole city. 20,000. The largest cities then were probably, I think it was Corinth, Ephesus, they were in the range of 100,000. You know, that's the largest city in the world. So imagine having 10,000 in one meeting. Let's look at Nigeria. If, okay, the largest city in Nigeria today is Lagos, is in terms of population, I learned it's about 21 million. Imagine if you now had 5 million people or 3 million people in a meeting. You know, really, the governor will want to know who is the person. Do you get my point? So Jesus had 10,000 people in a meeting, and then he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. Naturally, they will all be saying nice things about him. Maybe he's now passing by, they'll say, thank you, sir. You are such a blessing. You are such a blessing. My life has never remained the same since I ate that bread, you know. And then just a couple of minutes later, he says something that offends everybody. He's talking about the bread that they ate. He says that the bread, that they will perish with the bread. He says, there's the bread, they will perish. He said, he now says, I am that true bread. Eh? And everybody, you know, I hope we all left at the same time. You know, there's people who leave church. Gradually. There are too many places to go. Just guys, or people carry a Bible like there. Or people say they are going to just see somebody there and go. Or until you look around, you just saw 12. I don't know that. That's a bad result. If that happens today, they will say the guy has sinned. Why can't people leave your church that is not living right? There's something about somebody having that ministry. And that ministry, they miss the will of God. 12 people, even in 12. They said out of where shall they say it now? To whom shall we go? That's what they said. It's not that they said we believe you. To whom shall we go? But look at that. That means he didn't put it to heart that he had 10,000 people. He wasn't carried away. Give the people the mic. Let them face the crowd. They will say nonsense. Joseph be so talking. There was a particular minister. I won't forget it. I mean, he taught, and we practice what we call back in New Testament worship. We all said that clapping is never praise nor worship. This was in the early 90s. And, I mean, he taught us. So one day, we now went to a hall. He had never missed that kind of crowd before. And there was a lot of people in the congregation. I won't forget this day. So we began to clap. Pa, 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 pa. They clapped and clapped. And, so the pastor then, and he now said, let us clap the Lord. And they clapped. And this pastor now grabbed the mic. He said, as you were clapping, when you saw the crowd, I mean the crowd much, they were outside. So I saw the glory of God. I said, yippa. You know, he was so carried away. He said he saw the glory of God. He saw the crowd of glory. That was what he saw. Amen. Are you there? Human applause. People like what you are doing. There's nothing wrong in knowing how people see what you are doing. But using what they like and what they don't like is a bad template. Galatians 1:10, Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I think that's simple enough, right? That's simple enough. Look at, for instance, when he was himself and Barnabas, as for they were in where again now? Acts 14. When himself and Barnabas, and they now were like, oh, you are what do they call Barnabas again? I've forgotten. Huh? They call them gods. They call them gods. Acts 14. Huh? Huh? Mercurian. Jesus, alright, the two of them, and then right there, they decided to offer sacrifice to them. You know, it's a human being, you go like them. A whole city. Immediately, the men of God said, stop. We are men like you. That's a response of a man sold out. It doesn't stop. We are men like you. Don't think it's by our holiness that we have made this man walk. And as he began to talk about Jesus, do you know every time people talk about Jesus, it's always, and take it away from themselves, it always creates a negative response. Immediately, it was a negative response. And that response was not just go, They stoned him and took him for dead. I don't know where Barnabas was. We'll find out later in heaven. But that was the case. So two things. Human applause, don't put it too hard, and human persecution. I grew to ignore persecution too. I grew up to ignore it. That is the lot of the work you are doing for the Lord. I just grew to ignore it. So the same way praise, you know, praise, the praise of men. I remember I was with Chris Okotie in year 2000. And we were discussing something. I won't forget the statement he made. So I was saying something to him about, look, that why do people, there's some people who said some things about me, and I said this, and I was regretting. The answer he gave me blessed me. He looked into my eyes, and I mean, that we had finished talking doctrine, and you know, and I said, he said, you know why you feel like this? I said, why? He said, you like men's praises. I will never forget it. He said, that's why it's getting to you that they're criticizing you. He said, but if you take both the same way, both their praise and their criticism, it won't get to you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So just blur out and say, okay. I mean, Pastor Chris will go to amen. So that really, you know, makes sense biblically. So put it to heart. People like you, they don't like you, right? The Pastor's Appreciation Day. You know, I mean, if you're just in this ministry, just look back a few years down. People will do drama. It's not wrong. Nice. It will continue forever. But you just have sense that it really doesn't matter. This is not yet the Bema seat. Exactly. So don't put it to heart. Don't. I know of you, you get carried away, maybe make you coordinator of a fellowship, downtown Mushin. And then some damsels outside telling you, oh, they change their lives. You now begin to, your shoulder now grows up. And say, what's wrong with you? You now start getting rude to your zonal pastor. Say, why did you organize that again? But I was led. Can't I be led? Look at the damsels that are telling me I was led. You are immature. You let it be. You know, I was talking to Pastor Tokes. You know, and I mean, he had the privilege of preaching at Rema, Rema Church, and it was broadcast around the world. And one thing we do for ourselves, I mean, he said, you are in my life, Shego, to keep me in check. I told him, everybody was saying, what a great meeting. I said, so it's no big deal now. I said, did you stand before the Bema seat, or why are you so excited? He said, no. It's good to have people like that. Right? I said, yes, there's no big deal now. That when Obama talks with the whole world here, what's the big deal? It should keep him in check. Because if you are going to be destroyed by people, you are going to also be helped. People will do everything for you. You don't need devils, just people. Alright? So you keep your head in check. So just take the two. I told you, the first time I got a blind eye open, I was going home. I mean, I even felt myself. And my dad now told me that, where did you go? And he hit me. That day, man. I don't know if I didn't even know that. I hope for you. I said, blind eye. The whole blind eye was open. I look at this sinner. My father. I looked at him again. I changed my posture. Yeah. I'll just part the Red Sea of your life, man. I'll send my word over here just to go to. It's just that you're growing up. Okay? You know, Jesus had a donkey he rode on. And then they were putting. Imagine a donkey trying to go back to the same route and expecting them to put. You know, they just. Shoo, 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 shoo. It just came Jesus to lead a man for him to remain a donkey. Amen. So why not just act like a donkey normally? I thought you got my point. Number three, don't take social status to heart. Like marriage. Amen. Praise God. Don't take it to heart. Don't take it to heart. You know some guys can get married and they leave the ushering team. That is what they are married. Or say you will now be backing up one say glory that you love. Yeah, we say, so I want to join the welfare. I remember watching the meeting, and then Brother Higgin was ministering, and the ushers were crying for Dollar Kenny Copeland. You know, I don't think I'll ever give an offering that kind of meeting. And they want to put offering, and Kenny Copeland is bringing offering. And I want to put it inside. It's hell fighting in your spirit. God sees my heart. I will go. There are some things you don't contemplate. Yeah, I'm bringing up here. I'm saying, please, can I have change? You know, you've got a spiritual attack over your life. You should just see us with man, really. Do you know Jesus wasn't married? Amen. Praise God. And same with Paul. Imagine how we rate marriage today. They weren't married. And you know, they were the two most viable commentators on marriage in the Bible. And the two of them were not married. Jesus didn't say, you know, like I told my wife, Jesus didn't say that. He didn't have to say that to instruct my people. Paul didn't have to say, follow me as I follow Christ. He married, I'm married, so follow up. Oh, he didn't have to say that to teach marriage. Are you there? Come on, guys, are you following what I'm saying? You know, some say you have to tell people, well, you know, in my own house, what they say, my son, for instance, I told my son. Hey, he's my boy. He didn't say things like that. It didn't really matter. Amen. Praise God. Don't put it to heart. Don't put it to heart. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 7:29-30, I don't know whether you've seen that verse before. Let's see. Probably you skipped it. I just want to remind you. Amen. This I say, brethren, 29. The time is short. The time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they have none. I imagine. I know you skipped it. It says, and they that weep as though they weep not, and those that rejoice as though they rejoice not. 1 Corinthians 7:30, they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. He's talking about marriage. He said, don't abuse it. Okay? You find people say, because they're married, they're less committed to church, they stop evangelism. And I've seen some women say, well, you know, they are now busy. I think they are sick in your mind. That shouldn't be. The Lord, you are a trustee, even in your family, of your kids, okay, and your family, and your husband. I take back the word sick. I think you are just not okay. Right, you know, you shouldn't do that. Nothing should drop. You're serving the Lord. You know, you shouldn't put that to heart. That should, you don't carry that. And some folks are like, when they come to church, they now begin to relate to just married people. Well, there's this class thing that comes from society that comes into the church. Yeah, just married people. I say, well, just the same way, you can come to the church and start relating with people that are wealthy or and you're saying in your class of society. And then you say, well, I mean, let me just talk to those who matter, you know. And that's why I said that here, we don't refer to people as doctor or barrister, what else again? Teacher or something. Or mechanic. Yeah. His brother or sister, if you don't like it, don't come again. How can you call a homie brother? Hey, me, brother. Who is your brother? Okay, say chief brother. Anyway, so you put that to her. I said, if you are married, act as you are not. Okay? Amen? Alright. In Matthew 10:35, Jesus mentions the fact that, you know, he was talking about family. And he said that, don't think I've come to bring peace, but I've come, basically that's like a figure of speech. He said, I've come to bring war. Said a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law. A man's foe shall they be of his own household. Basically talking about the cost of commitment, that commitment to him may cost you relationships. And then you need to be aware of that. Just like Mark 10, 29-30, he said, if you follow me, you forsake father, mother, wife, children, sisters, brothers. You know, he wasn't saying that you divorce. You know, basically he was saying that you place me above. That's what he's saying. You place me above. That's what he's saying. I mean, that they, so don't put it to heart. You know, praise the Lord. Don't put that to heart. Just know basically that you need to act less on social status. Just like marriage is one, natural status, just don't necessarily start putting that to mind. Why did I say that? You can be married, you know, getting married is not the will of God. I hope you know that. And having kids is not, there's not a proof that you're in the will of God. That's what I want to say. Because people do get married and they have kids and they're doing fine. Someone once said that if you want to have a good marriage, be born again. I said, that's a lie. People have good marriages and they are not Christians. In fact, now I preside over an association, it's a global association. Sorry, somebody, I said the guy was jealous. I was supposed to go and inaugurate a chapter in Europe of that association. It's the whole boy association of my school, my sect. So I'm the international president. Now, we're talking about, so let's do a married talk show. And then, you know the name that came up? And that name has been coming up for at least 20 years in government college circles. He's a professor, well known, I don't want to mention his name. He's a Muslim, but he said that his marriage is so impeccable, that it's an example, that I think there was one African church that brought him to come and teach about marriage in their church. Interesting. It was a Methodist, sorry. You know, and especially I had no choice to. Who would I call? Professor so and so. He will come and lecture us about it. He's an unbeliever. If he dies tomorrow, he's going to hell. I don't think he's dead yet. But he has a good marriage. She married for, I think, 60 some years. Impeccable. Marriage. His kids are all good. I think he has 2 kids that are professors. So. Doing fine. You know, the wife is all this. He's my best friend. He's this, and they go out together and all that. So I guess they go to hell together. You know. So really, get married and have. That's really nothing, really. Amen. Nothing. Are you following me? So am I? Is this over here? Is it okay? Nothing. Is it really nothing? Having kids will do fine and all that. People raise kids and kids are very good, they are intelligent, excellent, and they are not Christians. And all the family are going to hell too if they don't get born again. So don't put that to heart. It will happen. It's a good thing, alright? But don't put it to heart. Don't let that be your motivation. Some people say, I just want to settle down. As though their life is up. Settle down. And I want to have more children. I want to just have more family. And that is the pursuit. And so such people sometimes, they get their approval from their kids so that they start to control their children. You know, because they are building life around them. They control their children. Who's your friend? I say, Shakira, you must never make friends with Muslim in your life. Say, let me use your friends and choose your friend for you. You know, they will dictate everything. Why would a parent sit with a child to be feeling down for? Oh yeah. Engineering. We are checking the combination. Oh yeah, I was really lucky. Really lucky too. Second time. Because I see, because I've already seen there, I talk to him about you. and living their lives, I did what I knew of my father was, he took me to the University of Illinois because his friend, his best friend was there. And we got to Illinois and we registered, and blah, 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 blah. And he was so happy, you know. So as he took the course I was going to study, everything. As we were leaving, I don't think he had gotten to our garage. I want to collect your course one. I will not live according to your own rules. I said, there's no law again. No. I said, whatever course. Say, if political science gave me, but this course, I'm going to say, I won't do it. Said, why would you drop accounting? Hey, computer science accounting. Why would you drop it for such a thing? I am not doing it. I don't do anything but what she said. Amen. So when I wanted to study law, I said, law? I said, well, that's what I'm going to study. So if you try to change it again, I'll do what I did. Really, the young people, they now build their lives around their kids. The young people control them. I mean, my son told me that he wanted to do sports. I said, it's great. He said, which one has more money? I said, well, you know, I think he asked me, he said, is basketballers, are they richer than footballers? I said, depends on what you play. He said, well, yeah, I won't push you to start dictating. He said, doctor, lawyer. He's an unfulfilled person that does that. Do you understand? I mean, then you say, you are going to preach the gospel of Christ. Oh, yes. This is choice. So don't put yourself to heart. Don't. It really doesn't matter. Amen. Are you there? What is going on? Why are you laughing? Really? That will not be called a punishment tool for kids. Yeah. Really? Psalm 24! So, when you're not going to do Bible study for the guy, and you're taking time long, you say, oh. You say, that will be a punishment tool. You will pull up in the morning, it just works for him. Back down. I love you, I'm coming out like that is faith by compulsion. So really, I think thing is, don't by time, and that is a product of when you are putting that to heart and you are living your life selfishly manipulating people's lives. You know, a boy or girl are independent beings. That's why most of us, I don't have children. It's basically just that selfish approach. Just want to live your life through people. Having kids are good. I'll tell you the truth. I mean, they're good, but hey, kids are just human beings. Independent human spirits. Clear? And souls. Now developing their own character and personality. Amen. That's the way it is. Are you there? So, I mean, One time, I'm going to teach us maybe years to come. Grace parenting, amen. Parenting by grace, just grace. Praise the Lord. I tell you, God doesn't compel anybody to do anything. He doesn't say the day you eat of it you will die. He didn't. God didn't do that. Amen. Are you there? Also, you know, don't get motivated by your followership. Ask Jesus. Don't ask. You know Israel. You know Israel. Records say there were 2 million. Okay, but basically about 1 million left Egypt just to enter the promised land. Just two. Hebrews 4:2 says because of unbelief. Okay. Unbelief. So you can choose. I mean, just some things should just not motivate you. No. I know people today who the pastors, what they teach is basically because of the people that are there. No, don't let people motivate. Just stay in God's purpose. Don't bother maybe the way people feel, people are following you and you don't use that as a means. Like I mentioned about Jesus, look at Paul. You know, in 2 Timothy 1:15, Paul said that the whole of Asia, Asia was where Paul lived. He said the whole of Asia had left. The whole of Asia, that's Paul. Yet, he said everybody left him. Yet he could say in 2 Timothy 4:7, said I fought the good fight, I finished my course, leave before his kind of righteousness. He still said that. So people not following him was not a proof that he had not finished his course. Do you get my point? Are you getting that? Really doesn't matter. So you know, in following God's plan, we've mentioned the place, the possession, pasture, and partnership. Amen. Praise the Lord. Place, it must be a place. There must be a place. You must ask yourself questions. Make sure you are not jumping around and just changing location the way you want. We also mentioned possession, the kind of abilities that God has placed in you. We mentioned pasture. We mentioned partnership. Now today I want to deal with something. Imagine, I'm just about to deal with it. Amen. You know, you have to be patient. Praise God. I always say hallelujah. Whatever. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen wake in vain. Let me just mention this. Is there something called destiny? Where you are destined to be where you are? You know, some people say, well, whatever will be, will be. It's actually an utterance of a fool. Because it's not true. Things did not end up the way they are today in your life today because it was determined. No. Nothing is determined. God, by the time you say God determines things, he predetermines things, like a finality on things, then you would definitely have to rope him in on sin, which he doesn't. I mean, a fundamental truth about God and the way he deals with us is how he spoke to Adam in Genesis 2:16 and 17. He told him not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what he said. He said, the day he eats of it, he will die. He didn't say, I mean, basically you can see, and James says that, let no man say, James 1:13, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. He said, God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempt any man. You know, so obviously, you can see that a man's desire is key. It's now for us, there's something called destiny. I mean, I grew up watching the Good Day films because we're related. Good Day is a grand uncle. I remember watching, I think it was one film, Ayomo. The guy that acted in Ayomo was my classmate, Ayogunde. And he go to heaven, they say, they don't give one calabash. They say, you know, carry it into the earth and all that. You can't feel that, you know, things happen like that. No. You see, things that happen around us, oftentimes when you get to the time of accountability, are a product of our desire. You went through school because you wanted to. If you didn't want to, you have numerous guys who just ran out of home and they are doing something else. You just didn't want to, alright? So the point is this, your desire oftentimes plays the part, right? God, just like, you know, sin is a desire, unbelief is a desire, faith is a desire. So unbelief, the Bible says that they couldn't enter into God's purpose and plan because of unbelief. So unbelief is a desire, not to do God's word, not to believe God's word. So the same thing, and though, I mean, look at yourself and say, well, how many things have I possessed because of unbelief? There are things that have happened to you today because of unbelief. Things that have happened to you because of fear. Some have happened to you because of flesh. So some things that you have done, you know, just like one time I was talking to a lady and then she said, I think she got pregnant for one guy. The guy wasn't a Christian. And so somehow, they were now fighting over whether they should marry or not. I've always said it that getting pregnant for someone, this is really not something I want to say publicly. It's not, particularly on those kind of occasions, it's not a ticket to be married to the person. It's absolute trash. And I said, well, that, why, she now said, well, that she believes that that's how God wants it. That after all, she already is pregnant for him. And yes, she knows she's an unbeliever. And I said, was it God that put desire to sleep with the guy? Say, it's God. If God wasn't, he will need evil spirits to do what he did. Say, it's God. That she just has to allow God. I said, well, anyway, let's see how God will lead you. I don't want to print the rest of the story. No, that's nonsense. Know what you did. This is a product of your desire, a product of your faith, your unbelief, your fear, your hatred, you know. Things are a product of things we have done. So you must be able to locate why did this happen and don't say it was meant to happen. It wasn't meant to happen. Do you understand? Just say, why did it happen? You must be able to tell yourself why it happened. Don't say, well, it was meant to happen. It wasn't meant to happen. People are saved because they believe. Is that clear? They are not saved because they were salvation or promise. Oh yeah, do it again. Say after me. Amen. Saved. Go. The guy has to believe an act of his will. Amen. And he can doubt. You can believe means you can doubt. So, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the workmanship of God created in Christ unto good works, which God had beforehand planned that we should walk in them. So I have to walk in them. Say, I have to walk in them. You have to walk in it. If God has a plan, you will still need to what? Walk in it. So that means if you can walk in it, you cannot walk in it. So God has a plan for you, you must walk in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to discuss something, you know, in this meeting before we close. along the lines, it's still one of our points in following God's purpose, which you mentioned, partnership. I want to discuss the importance of supernatural relationships. Importance of supernatural relationships. Let me say this quickly. I know I taught this in Ibadan, and I think I will just build on that. If you get your relationships correctly, like if you have the right friends around you, you are 50% through in at least following God's plan for your life. Because there's nobody that can do God's will in isolation. There's nobody. It's not even God's will. So, look at the importance of relationships. There will be, this is the way somebody said it. He said, there are people, there are things you will not know, you will not accomplish, you won't find out, until you get into a relationship with certain people that God has put those things into, in them. It's not a fast, it's just the truth. Look at the issue of Ananias. Do you know that Jesus appeared to Paul in Acts 9 and he sent Ananias to him? That's a relationship. He sent someone to him. The man went ahead, Acts 9:17, and he laid hands on that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know that Paul, for instance, was in Tarsus for a while? Barnabas in Acts 11 was now the one who brought him. He went to bring him. He actually gave him recognition. There are people, somebody said this, I think it was Pastor Chris, and I won't forget the way he said it. He said there are some people in your life that the role they will play is Ananias. That we don't hear about him again. All they are supposed to do is what he did. I could relate. See some folks who will take you to a church. They will even tell you the name of the church. And that's all they will do. Some folks will let you know somebody. And that is all they will play. It will not be foolishness on your part. Listen carefully. To now want to, the guy now comes back tomorrow and says, I don't like that church. I don't like that guy. You now want to follow the person. All he has done is Ananias. Some folks, that is all they are. Do you know that there are people today who you could see they led you into what you are doing today and you can't find them again? I don't know if you have seen that example before. You can't even see them anywhere. That's all they're supposed to do. I remember on a church I attended, a guy came home, he was working for Daily Times. So he brought a bulletin. And he brought the bulletin. He went for the meeting, and I started going faithfully. I said, That was all he said. So I also attended. That was like a year. He now attended. As he attended, the place where he bought the bulletin from me, he now came back. Interestingly, when he now attended, the pastor was rebuking forcefully the head of the music team. And everybody was, that day, the cane went around. You know, I didn't collect cane, but I saw it coming. So, everybody was good. So I went home and said, this guy that took me to that now came. Said, what do you say about how that man spoke? I said, if you mention anything here, still get out of my house. Ananias, that's all. That's all he is. And that's all the way they will play. Some of the other members of your family, that is all they will. They will give you a material. But those will tell you is the first person who gave me a game book was his mother, and she was a deeper lifer. She wasn't listening to the same materials in 1983. So, sometimes that's all they will play. Listen very well. So, don't think that I'm talking about that kind of relationship. Some, all they do is Barnabas. They will say, look, know this person. They would help you again into, some people will help you find the right relationship. That's what they are going to do. And they won't be in your life for long. I preached a sermon years back. Said that sometimes you have to let Lot be. Don't force them to stay in your life. And don't force yourself to stay in theirs. Are you there? Okay. Now, I'll tell you the other side of it, which looks like all like contradiction, but it's not. Now, do you know that eventually, look at this. Eventually, I mean, you see different roles people are going to play. Acts 13. You see people, Acts 13, people spoke into Paul's life. smuggling in such that people will speak into your life. It's not just about it's not about meeting people and having a nice time, and when you have problems, they give you money. No, they give you money. You can use their house. Wherever you are, wherever you don't have a place to stay, you stay there. That, you say it's selfishness. Do you understand? Selfishness. But these are people, for instance, in Acts 13, when Paul and Barnabas, they spoke into their lives by the Holy Spirit. Look at when they speak into your life. They will speak the utterances of God into your life. You will see the gifts of the Spirit walk towards you through those people. Very vital. In Acts 21, you see that Paul wasn't Paul all by himself. It was Paul as a product of relationships. Separate me, Barnabas and Paul. You see, that wasn't Paul who spoke. It was men who spoke into his life. So you find people in your life. Supernaturally, they are placed there to speak to your life. And what they will be speaking is God's plan. They will let you find God's plan and purpose. Doesn't it amaze you that after meeting Ananias and then Barnabas, the person that Paul said was a man after his heart was Timothy? Interesting. In Philippians 2:19, Paul puts it like this. He said, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also will be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel." Interesting. He now found a guy. He did Paul too found Timothy. You know, Paul asked, "Who is this young man? Who can serve?" And he asked 16, he now bought Timothy. And then Paul now began to speak into the man's life. So you saw that the people, they say things, or they minister in line with God's plan for your life. They minister in that line. They are not general relationships. Okay? Are you there? Just like Timothy. No, Timothy discovered the gift of God in the midst of elders, right? The presbytery. 1 Timothy 4:15, 2 Timothy 1:6. When you get relationships correct, you are 50% done. That's getting it. Just look at those relationships that are in your life. Now, people speaking into your life are not nice things. No. They can speak the will of God into your life. Sometimes, you don't even... Now, listen now. It doesn't mean that people you... So for most people, for instance, to have that kind of person, you be staying in his house, or you see anybody, they know. It may not be somebody who teaches the word. That's all it does to you. And the person is in your life for that purpose and ministers by the power of the Holy Spirit into your life. That's all. So you must know those relationships that are supernaturally arranged for you. It's very simple. Just look at your life and look at the advantages you have had in following God through those relationships. Look at it. I say, there are some people that if you are losing it, just go and listen to them. It's just a people that they don't have a word talking to you without knowing what is in your mind. Reverend George was mentioning something years ago. He said that this is the way he said it, and I didn't think about it until years later. He said that sometimes there are people that you are close to. I'm going to talk about that. They are close to, and they are supernaturally placed into your life. And the easiest way to cut off the supply is familiarity complex. That when you are close to people that God has placed into your life strategically to fulfill his plan, he said you have to be extra careful. Now, he now said that you have to be, of course, it was preaching honor, but he said you have to be very careful, because anything that God will use to bless you will be in human form. We're not serious. And anything in human form is never perfect. Anything that comes to you is never going to be perfect. So, anything that will come through a human being, it's never going to be perfect. Because he's a human being. Is that what I'm saying? I'll come to that. So get your relationship right, just know who they are, and you know, place premium on those relationships. And you can't and ensure that you keep touch. You know, I'll leave that today. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. Of course, Paul was dealing with doctrine here, and he says, do not be deceived. A very strong word. He says, evil communication corrupts good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. As important as having supernatural relationships and nurturing them, listen to this, it's important also to judge other kind of relationships and not allow them influence you negatively. Look at those words. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Let's look at good manners. Prayers or praying effectively is a good manner, right? Huh? Evangelism is a good manner, right? Giving in church is a good manner, right? Being humble is a good manner, right? Walking in the Spirit, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, as it were, is good manners, right? Come on. Forgiving others is good manners, right? Am I right? Submission to authority is good manners. Submission to your husband is good manners. Taking care of your wife is good manners. Being obedient to authority is good manners. He says, but evil communication will corrupt it. All you need to change is put somebody in your life who does what you don't do. That's all. Just have somebody in your life who does what you don't do. You will start to do what you were not doing before. It's so simple. Like I said in Badon, what you don't want, don't watch it. What you don't want in you, don't keep around you. If you keep it around you, it will get into you. Have a way of controlling the cycle of friends around you. Like I mentioned, today, you don't have to keep relationship by seeing physically. Just using BlackBerry, Facebook is enough. You will get in touch with the whole world. I was saying that there was a guy we saw last, I think 85 or 84, 86. I can't remember one of the 3 years. And we met on Facebook. Do you know, we have spoken so much. Somebody is coming to minister for us at, what's the Believers Convention. He's the commanding officer of Ilesi Cantonment. Can you imagine that? He's coming to minister for us. You know, he's a colonel in the army. I have never seen him before. But do we relate? Yes. And we have never seen. You know how funny it is. You may not see somebody, and the person has influence over your life. Do you get what I'm talking about? With the advent of social media, phone call. You know, there was a business partner of the man I was talking about earlier. The guy was in the US. He stayed in, I think New York. He was in Atlanta. They did business for 25 years and they never met each other. 2-5 years. They did business in Africa, in Asia, and they never met each other. So I told him, I said, have you met him? I said, yeah, Shagra, well, we've met him before, but we know one another very. He said, I know how his room is. I know, but I can tell you every movie in his film rack. And they had never met before, and they lived there for 25 years. So when we talk about people influence you, don't think people you see every day, people you relate with every day. Amen. Are you listening? Evil communication corrupts good manners. Why do you think the Bible says, what partnership at that? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Say light and darkness, believer, unbeliever, righteous, unrighteousness, temple of idols, and the temple of God. Say, what do you have together? What do you have together? Well, profession, yes. Career, yes. Academics, yes. But such, you must know how to. I mean, Paul was a tent maker. He had several tent makers, but the ones he kept close touch with was, you know, Priscilla and Aquila. Always know the ones that can't come close. Like I mentioned, if there's something you don't do, if you get someone who does it, stay around you long enough, you will start to do it. Amen. Alright, let's go further. Now, do you observe that when there's somebody in the church, in Paul's letters, and the person is in flagrant disobedience, Paul, first of all, before they deal with the guy, they say, first of all, take him out. Why? He will influence other people. 1 Corinthians 5:13, he said, put out the wicked person.
that he must, he said, in verse 11, he said, don't eat with him. You know, food can make you very light. Yeah, you know. Let me talk to you. Let's meet at tantalizers. You don't sit down. What said, do not eat too. Yeah, sit down. See, I'm a sincere person. It's not like that. You know how people feel. You say, it's true. Paul said, do not even. You know, if someone is all you need, you know, there are people today, they married someone and it changed the entire course of their lives. We'll get to that. Your life will never remain the same again. The minute you get that part wrong, your life will never remain. What are you talking about? Who think it's about a woman and a man? No, it's both ways, though. It's both ways. If you marry a woman who is not committed to God's purpose of your life, it's the same thing. The man's own looks worse, but it's the same thing. So, and that one, you can't say not eat. I asked a question on Facebook one time, I said, Paul's instructions to the rebellious, does it apply to married people? I don't know what I think. You say, Paul said, do not eat, and you are his wife. Put out the wicked person. Can you die from your house? No. Is there no company with them? What do you do? So get it right. Amen. It's not in verse 3:14. It says that what 2 Thessalonians 3:14, the same approach. You know, Romans 16:17, it says, mark the person. It says, stay away from them. 1 Timothy 6:5, withdraw yourself. Why? It's letting you know that influence is strong. You can't undo influence. It's powerful. It says, stay away. If somebody, look at where I am. If I detect a preacher is into money gospel, and see all this seed tree, what else? Mountain, forest, giving into money, I don't listen to them anymore. For instance, there are people today that I still honor them, because they've been a blessing to my life. I talk about them in glowing terms. But if you are close to me, you know I don't even listen to them again. I won't even hear you again. Even if you are saying, you are teaching what I'm going close to the throne. Look, poison, nobody starts poison Oha. It's always list amongst nice food. In fact, sometimes your favorite food. In Christ! They will just put in, something will not be in that Christ for you. So if you are taking Christ, you are taking poison. Everything is in Christ. So Paul says, stay away. Just stay away. That's what he said. He said, when somebody teaches correct deduction, he said, don't allow the person influence you. You should be able to dictate the relationships around you. Look at it very well. Which ones are in your life? Romans 16, I'll run through. Paul was relating with the kind of people that are in a circle. From verse 16, from verse 1 to about verse 15. Look at everybody he mentions. They were all related to the work he was doing. Everybody he mentioned. Everybody. You know, everybody. Look at your friend circle today. Which of them is contributing positively to your spiritual life? Those are things you must watch. You can't be a universalist. You are a friend to everybody. It doesn't work. You say, who are. Of course, you must be cordial with people. Not that you see people say, Bible says stay away, I'm not going to greet you. Bible says stay away. And the guy is a cashier in the bank. Say, Bible says stay away, I won't collect money. Or tell her, Bible says stay away. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's like kind of relationship, the impact they have. There are people today that I see, there are folks within church. I'm talking about as your pastor now. I see that they are struggling. Oftentimes, when I see a Christian struggling, I first ask, who are your friends? If you can get that one right, you are 50% done. Just get the friends aspect correct. Who are the people you talk to? Because if you come today on the morning and you pray, and you now go back to folks that don't pray, it's going to be plus 10 minus 20. You are just deceiving yourself. Amen. Are you there? And some of us, we have compromised ourselves because we want to be accepting people. Let me tell you. Look, if you follow God's purpose for your life, you don't need to please people before they appreciate what you are doing. Just do what God wants you to do. It's an error many make. It's an error. Now follow this. So you look at the influence. Okay? Look at the people Paul mentioned. My beloved, my helper, beloved in the Lord, kinsman, neighbors together with me. Those are the kind of people you keep close to you. Do you pray with these people? Do you go out to reach out? Can you ask for a godly counsel from this kind of person? And the person will just be sharing God's word with you. Can this person speak by the Holy Spirit into your life? If these are not the kind of people that keep around you, you are going to struggle. Amen. I said amen. Good. So, in looking at God's, these supernatural relationships, now this is the aspect I want to just deal with and close. You watch out for strife. How many of you know that John the Baptist and Jesus did not have a healthy relationship? You know that? They didn't have it. Because John took offense. You see, if there's any way, you know, we can hinder supernatural relationships by offense, you just get offended. John took offense. That's John. John was the person who pointed out Jesus. And he took offense and now tried to ask a strange question. Are you the one to come to another? That's offense. I always say, when there is strife, you will never see what God is doing. Let me show you something. Who was in the hotel room in UI when I was talking about this meeting? Remember that? I showed them a post. You know, I was talking about a meeting. I've actually said something before that. We held this meeting in the ministry then, 99. And people were just fighting. Pastor said this, pastor said that. Some were fighting themselves. So when we now finished the meeting, it was a 3-day meeting. They said, "Fast, the meeting did not even have much impact. That it didn't have much impact. That something is wrong." They were questioning. Maybe the leader of the ministry questioning because some things happened. They were carnal things. Don't let me go into them. They are very disgraceful things. And I smiled. There was a brother who came for that meeting. Not just one person, no. The other. He didn't say that. In his entire life, he had never been to a meeting where the glory of God was that strong. He didn't know anything we were talking about because he was not a member of the ministry. He just came. Said he had never, said it was at that point that he received a definite call to ministry. In that same meeting. I don't know if I've heard that testimony before. Now, I now showed you his posts on Facebook. You saw it. He mistook the year for 98, that's when it's 99. Said he called it Believers Convention, Believers Camp Meeting. He called his name. See, this is the guy I'm talking about. He's a pastor of Stone Church in Abuja. So this is the guy. He was not part of this strife. So he saw what God was doing. You get my point? But the guys that were fighting, if the Holy Ghost comes with a red hat with you know. So this is, and listen. I'm going to read a quote when we close for once, and that quote, think about it. Now, you can't dictate marital relationship. You can't dictate it. You get my point? You can't dictate. Like, God put me in your life, who I have been blessed. You can't dictate it. So you have to be careful for strife. Look at Paul and Barnabas. The funny part of what was the issue in John 15 and Acts 15? Who will take John Mark? Should we take John Mark? In Acts 12:25, they took John Mark. And in Acts 15, Paul said, "Look, this John Mark is not profitable in me. This guy, his prayer meeting, he will run away. Prayer group, he will come and do praise the Lord when they are finished praying. Is there any John Mark here?" Say no, you're there. And John Mark was a relative of Barnabas. Sentiment. So I want you on this sentiment. Yeah, I tell folks sometimes, I say, "Look, don't use sentiment for your wife or your husband in ministry. It doesn't make sense. In what sense? You know, it doesn't make sense." My friends, you know, he told one of his wives, I shall be in his community, I will just be quiet. And I shall be saying, this was that he has a wife that the wife, you know, were in the same church. I was part of, we're not married. So I normally would give responsibility to people, then I'll give timelines and say, "Look." So, of course, the wife, she wasn't married to him then. She said something She came late for a meeting. I said, why are you late for a meeting? She said, no reason. I said, then walk out. Now, I had my wife said she was in my, she was there. She won't come late. Well, for what? There's no husband and wife on the pulpit. It's home that you do that one. This is not your home. Paul even said, don't you have houses where you can eat and drink? I can add and do husband and wife. I was saying this in LTP. I said, if my wife is late, she will pay fine. She has done punishment. Clean church. I said, so who are you? Sir, I'm man. If you are late, we shouldn't your own be a greater punishment. Do you understand? So, listen now. So, John Mark was his nephew, according to history, and all that. Let me tell you the point to me about life. And that's how you must not be stupid. After what? I believe that Barnabas was, I mean, historically, and what Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians 9, Barnabas was still doing ministry and he was doing fine. I mean, but he didn't have any epistle. And his name did come up again. That's just how the Holy Spirit did it. Now, that John Mark, you know the kind of person he was? In 1 Peter 5:13, you know Peter called him his son too. Peter said, my son Marcus. He has many spiritual fathers. You know, people like that. That's when John Mark, Barnabas was passing over. He had moved to Peter. That's when John Mark. Do you know that much later too? 2 Timothy 3:11. That same John Mark. Paul said, bring John Mark. He's profitable for. So he has moved back again to Paul. So you see that Barnabas. It didn't make sense what he was doing. It didn't make sense. Don't allow somebody to separate you and one that God has placed together. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You know, there are members of church, they think they are smart. There was somebody, a member of Pastor Lance Church. She just called me. I said, I'm talking about Pastor Lance. She said, I told him, he didn't, I just want to cry. You know, my young people, he's crying. Crying doesn't move me from here to here. Everybody cries. The person that is lying, he cries. The person that is stealing, he's crying. The person that is hard, crying. The person that is killing somebody, is crying. Everybody cries. Crying is not difficult. Just, how to get yourself to cry? Just think something long enough. Tears will come out of your eyes. You know, I can get tears out, but just think and. Yeah. And tears will come out of your eyes. You know? Praise the Lord. So, one day, some people were. They were mourning someone. So the guy now called me. I said, hey, I said, okay, you know what? Call me as well as the time. I'll call you. I'll call her. And I'll put him in the background. I said, okay. So he said, Pastor Lance, yes. Pastor Lance is actually listening to you. Yeah. Good evening, Pastor Lance. I just will call him. You understand? You don't allow this grown two person. Right? This grown two person. Amen. These grown people are always this grown two. Everything is this grown. Their worship life is this grown. Prayer life is this grown two. Even the Bible is this grown two. So listen. Some issues need no tension. Be careful. Like I said, anything that God will always use human beings, and being human beings will never be perfect. Do you get that? Do you understand? So now people go to church and they are spotting mistakes of their pastors. That's what they are doing. They are spotting mistakes. They will have some books of what their pastors have done. So and so day. That's what they are there for. So be careful. So I say to you, do your best to preserve supernatural relationships. Do your best.
Do your best. Do your best. Do everything you can. Protect it from outsiders. Is that clear? And evil influences. Don't forget, it's all about the word, the ministry, and accountability. People you are accountable to. You know, people that you can say, look, hey, they can call you to order. When they are preaching and teaching, it calls you to order. Direct can't call you to order. Let me read a quote to you. We'll close here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you must protect supernatural relationships. You must keep them. The minute you get that right, you are 50% done. It's just about following it. We are all who we are today because of influences in our life. How do you agree with me? You agree with me? We are a product of influence. There's nobody exempt from it. Now, this is a quote I like. I like this quote. I'll pick part of it. So it says, no matter how gifted you are, this is a blessing. No matter how anointed you are, regardless of how important you might think about yourself, God can do without you. I told you one guy that appeared on TV one time and he said, what can God do without me? The man's ministry went down and God has been fine. Listen, God can do without you. If need be, think about this very well. He will find an adequate replacement for you. There's nothing you are doing today that is not a privilege. He will find an adequate... One of the prayers, I think I heard Pastor Adeboye say one time, and he said, always pray that you should not become big in your eyes. That you should be small in your eyes. I think that's a vital prayer point. Don't pray. Don't get to the point where you are big in your eyes. He said, now this man says, God will find an adequate replacement for you. There are people today God has replaced. People are doing what they should be doing. And the funny part is that they will not be doing more effectively. Have you seen it before? Have you seen it before? Somebody could even be their disciples. Or somebody who got born again. I told you the story of my friend. Have I told that story before? He went abroad. And he was now a new convert, a Muslim that got born again. That now started pastoring the church he started. Today, I saw him on Facebook, is, you know, like something happened. You know, these are people that you need to be, somebody has to tell them that, Christian, they knew. Christian. Someone called me, a student of mine, he called me from Qatar. So he said, he's bothered. I said, why? He said, there's this fellow that wants to marry his cousin. His cousin is a Christian. He said, but the cousin has been long, you know, old, so she's desperate. And it's true that she's so desperate that the guy has to go back to college, go and find out. That, you know, when he has started, go and find out what kind of Christian is he really? Is he a genuine Christian? Do you know that really funny? That means, just go and find out that I should call these guys who are in America. Find out. I said, go and do it. So I started mailing guys. I said, this is what you say. I'm not sure. So because his own sister, he can't call up from Qatar. That was yesterday, 2 days ago. You know? And my senior, heard about it, is the director of Shell. He called and said, look, please save my heart. See, because this girl, I've invested so much spiritual development in her life. But she's desperate. And this guy, I said, God, thank you. At least this guy, say, I know somebody I can call. At least this guy, he said, you find out. I said, but that guy, said, well, one thing I know that he wasn't a member of fellowship. He said, hey, thank you. I said, but along the line, it's not like you either. So when I checked his Facebook, I saw something like La Vela. I said, maybe somebody that posted it. So let me ask questions generally. That's the kind of life that my friend I was talking about now lives. Somebody had replaced him adequately, doing the job well. God will replace you. That's what he said here. I'm not praying for you. Now the guy says it may take you many years to get back into reckoning. There's nothing like losing steam and trying to recover it. It's never easy. Okay? Some of us who believe in the finished work of redemption, we take things for granted.
Some laws are eternal in principle. It takes years. You will struggle. You will struggle. You will struggle at what you were doing with ease. You will find it difficult. Now, if you are in seminary, you now begin to convince yourself that what was the big deal about what I was doing, really? You know? So he says, treat opportunities you have in relationships, treat them with gratitude. Don't treat any relationship with contempt because of familiarity. No matter how close you are with people that God has put into your lives, don't get too familiar and contemptuous. One more thing he said here. So don't develop an entitlement mentality. Nobody owes you anything. Never allow, this is the last one, and I'll close finally on this one. Say, good news, I've told you how many times, according to Reverend George. Never allow a disgruntled person or group to take you out of God's plan or the move of the Spirit. Don't make them cause you to terminate a supernatural relationship. I'll take that again. Never allow a disgruntled person or group to take you out of God's plan and the move of the Spirit. Don't allow them to make you or cause you to terminate a supernatural relationship. Always see the big picture. You are only a piece in the puzzle. Hallelujah. Always see a big picture. Praise the Lord. I think that's enough. Amen. Amen. God bless this evening. Let's just pray. Praise God. Pray. Let's pray.